Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to our Reformation worship here at Faith. Exciting time. A year ago, we were gathered here on Saturday night. It was the only service we were going to have here. It was a very special service in its own right, and that's what we want to make sure that we do here as well. A couple of things. First of all, for the last 2 months, one of the things that I've been trying to get the different groups that do fellowship for us is to make sure that they remember the Saturday night worship, at least in a small way. The first two months, that didn't happen. Tomorrow morning, we're going to be welcoming some new members into our church. I know that some of you gathered here tonight have been part of some of our new member celebrations in times past. But what we're going to do tonight, then, is we're going to have a time of fellowship after worship. I'd like to ask you to stay for a little bit. We got some goodies in the back with a distinct fall, Halloween-type flair to them. Just an opportunity to share some time together. Because one of the things that we also have not been able to get restarted yet has been our restaurant nights out. That is going to be on its way again soon. One of the things that we do here is a part of our Saturday worship again. So be prepared for it, but please join us back in Narthex number 2. The youth are also having their pie sales, and they're going to be selling them back there while you're doing your fellowship. So take the time, we've got a representative of our youth that's going to be back there also for that. Yes? Okay, very good, very good. Also, next Saturday night, several things are going to be taking place. First of all, just so that you'll know, we've been doing second and fourth Saturday for communion, so tonight is indeed communion. But because the worship times are changing for Sunday worship starting next weekend, we're going to go back to the traditional times, 8 and 11 on Sunday morning. We're going to go back to the traditional communion schedule for Saturday night. The first and third Saturday night. So tonight, we're celebrating communion. Next Saturday, we'll be back celebrating communion again. After the communion service is over is when we're going to have our, and I guess you got to call it post All Hallows Eve celebration that we're going to be having. We got all kinds of things we're planning right now that we're still working on a couple things. But the biggest thing that we need from you are some bags of candy. Now, there's a big box also back in the fellowship area where you can leave some candy. And what I might suggest for some of you is to be in your department store, grocery store, Family Dollar, whatever it is, the morning after Halloween, and be grabbing all that stuff on clearance and then bring it here to church. We don't need it. Obviously, it would be nice to have it sometime Saturday morning, but if you're going and getting all that stuff on Thursday and bringing it to the church either Thursday or Friday, we can get a lot of stuff for a whole lot less money. It's a nice little trick. And if you've already got some and you'd like to bring it here, the box doesn't have a whole lot in it yet. And we are going to need a lot for that. And as I told our people that are gathered here last week, for anybody, especially on our youth, that brings a young person to the All Hallows Eve, we have got some special golden tickets that they're going to be able to receive next week at All Hallows Eve that they'll be able to redeem through the month of November. And we'll talk a little bit more about just what those are going to be at another time. But it's an incentive to try to bring some more youth here for that. So that's all next Saturday night. And by the way, I'll plant something in your ear. Next Saturday night is also the end of daylight savings time. And so, the time on Saturday night will be unaffected. But then a week from tomorrow, we're going to be falling back as we do every year. So do remember those things as we go through. Copies of the November calendar are in back. You may take one of those if you have not done so already. Do take note of just what we're going to be doing through the month, the celebrations and worship times we're going to be having. And some of the stuff, like for example, towards the end of the month, we are actually going to be starting with an Advent schedule. We don't have a lot of details on that yet because we are waiting to see, obviously, what's going to happen after the action of the congregation last Sunday to lease the Christian Life Center. Now some renovations are going to be taking place over there. How that's going to affect what we can do and for how long, and starting when, we just don't know any of that yet. So, but as soon as we've got word, we will certainly share it with you. So that is, let's see, is there anything else that I have here? Any of you that are going to, that have ordered your script cards, you may pick them up today. Please note that we are going to be taking script orders. Now, each of the next 3 weeks, script had been just an every other week thing, but because of the timing of both Thanksgiving and Christmas, that second weekend of the month ends up, excuse me, being the most important time to be placing in an order, both for Thanksgiving and for Christmas, to make sure you get them on time. So no orders. I mean, if you've got an order, you'll be getting it tonight. But otherwise, we will be taking orders each of the next 3 weekends. And for both your Thanksgiving shopping and also for your Christmas list, if you've never gotten involved with script before, this is the time to do it. Okay, let's begin our service then by standing and greeting one another in the peace of the Lord. As you are able, please stand. We begin by calling to mind our baptisms in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God is our refuge and strength. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swell. Come, behold the works of the Lord. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations.
I will be exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us. God indeed is our refuge and strength, our help and our fortress. Yet we often choose to flee from the refuge of the Lord. We abandon the strength and safety of God, trusting in our own strength and power. The Apostle Paul writes that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So as we enter the house of the Lord and call upon him for his good and gracious gifts this evening, let us consider our enslavement to sin and our continued struggle with sin as his precious people, beginning with a moment of silence. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you in our thoughts, words, and actions. We have sinned as individuals and as a community. We have often overlooked or looked down upon your children, our neighbors who are in need. We have even participated or helped bring about divisions among your people. We have sought refuge in the things of this world and not in you. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us back to you, our refuge and strength in every time of trouble. While we have indeed all fallen short of the glory of God, we are all also justified by God's grace as a gift. God in his love and mercy has set us free in the death and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. So as a called and ordained servant of the risen Christ, and by his authority, it is my privilege to declare to you that your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Son has set us free. And we are free indeed. Amen. You may be seated.
Teach my soul to cry. Tonight's readings from Holy Scripture are for the Reformation of the Holy Christian Church. Our first lesson is found in Romans chapter 3, beginning with verse 19. The righteous are justified by faith. St. Paul writes, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand as a sign of resurrection hope.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 4th chapter. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already, the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Friends, one of the most remarkable coincidences happened in the sport of college basketball, where two dynasties, about 35, maybe 40 years apart from each other, started mirroring each other in terms of the things they were doing. Back in the 1960s and early 1970s, it was the men's basketball team from UCLA that ran off an astounding 88 consecutive wins. Now, nowadays, 88 would give you maybe two and a half seasons worth of wins. Back then, it meant that they were undefeated for almost 4 straight years. And now, just recently, just a couple of years ago, the women's basketball team from the University of Connecticut did the same thing. In fact, they went even further. They won 92 consecutive games. Utterly remarkable thing. But one of the things that I remember, I didn't see the cover of Sports Illustrated after what happened to the UConn women, but I distinctly remember what happened once the UCLA men, after winning 88 in a row, finally lost. On the cover of Sports Illustrated, which I was receiving at that time, after 88 comes one. Yes, even a team as successful as they were, as talented as they were. And I have to say, both in the case of UCLA's 88 and Connecticut's 92, most of the games were not even close. Scores like 114-36, crazy scores like that, were not that uncommon even against supposedly better teams. But eventually, all of that success had to come to an end. You know, last year, we had as much of a buildup. I want to say that it was March or April when we started planning the event in Sims Park called Reformation 500. And, you know, some of you may not have even been at that event. If you came to Saturday night worship the night before, we may or may not have seen you in Sims Park the next day. And perhaps it was for a reason. Those of you that were there remember the event well. The Friday, the day before, when we were getting all of the arrangements kind of finalized, the day was beautiful. By the time we got to Sunday morning, it was windy, and we almost had to use that four-letter word that begins with the letter C, cold. Wow, that day was something special. I didn't even realize that Florida in October was capable of such days. And yet, people from five different congregations. We were planning on a good day over 300 people, and on what was anything but a good day, we had over 300 people. It was utterly remarkable. What do you do for an encore? Well, okay, after 500 really doesn't come one, because it's not like, you know, there's something wrong with this year or that we've lost something that we didn't have last year. On the 501st anniversary, we celebrate the same thing. Or do we? As you go through both Scripture and even the annals of history, one of the things that you learn about history is that there are parts of history that are, the term that's used is cyclical, meaning it kind of goes in a circle. And I had a professor when I was preparing to become a pastor who was adamant about this, and he said, all you have ever seen when it comes to the proclamation of the gospel and the understanding how important it is a big circle. Somebody is given the gospel, discovers it, realizes how critically important it is, and then it gets more and more important as the circle begins to go around. But then all of a sudden, the circle starts to trend back up, and at some point, the people who had the gospel lost it. And when they lose it, they never get it back again. I don't know. We'll just use the example of the UCLA men's basketball team. I don't know if you've even paid attention to what that particular team has or has not done, but I promise you, there's never been anything close to an 88 in a row from that school. In fact, they've only won two national titles since then. More on that a little bit later. So somehow, whatever it is that they had, they lost. Well, in several different cases, when the children of Israel had it, when the church that was formed on the doctrine of the apostles' teaching and so forth, when that church had it, in each case, it was lost. Now here we are celebrating the boldness that Martin Luther had to stand up to both church and government and say, I will not recant anything, because to go against Scripture is neither right nor safe. We stand in a shadow of an event that took place 501 years ago. But is it still important to us? Do we still understand how important the gospel really is? Because, my friends, the worst thing that could ever happen You have been given the opportunity to learn about, to live your lives in an understanding of this gospel that sets us free. The good news about Jesus Christ, who came into this world and saved us from our sins and has now allowed us to live for him. But if that circle is working its way back up, apparently it's only a matter of time before whatever number it's going to be, but after 500 comes one. And if as a church, as a family, as an individual, we lose the gospel, how are we ever going to get it back again? In the annals of history, they never did. Somebody else, some other entity, some other group, some other individual came and discovered the gospel. And you realize what happened with Martin Luther as he was at some point trying to read a Bible that was in a library that was chained to a wall in a language that the people didn't even speak. And he is asked to begin to teach young student priests the Bible. And what did he do? Well, the rebel that he was, if he's going to teach young student priests the Bible, he realized he'd better read the Bible and see what it says. Do we know? Do we understand what the message of Scripture really is? Not what we think it is, not what certain churches have made it out to be. The message that's summarized well. A message that we receive only by faith in Jesus Christ, about a righteousness that comes from God apart from the works of the law, although both the law and the prophets give testimony to it. And it comes through faith in Jesus Christ, a faith that gives us the boldness to make Jesus Christ, whom we have never met face to face, the center of our lives, a boldness that makes each and every day a celebration where sin has been defeated. That doesn't mean that somehow sins are not going to somehow go up and give us a good swift kick from time to time. But we do not live our lives trying desperately to plead to what is supposedly an angry God to overlook some of our sins. Jesus Christ has allowed every day of our lives to be truly good news. We get to celebrate. The cross has set us free. It is a message that Martin Luther was willing to stand up no matter what it is that came of it. And more than a little bit dead. I mean, Germany was trying to hold things together by threatening its people, by wanting to stay of one religion for political purposes. And when Martin Luther stood up and said, "Here I stand." Okay. Germany fell into anarchy for several decades after that. And when it finally found itself, the one thing that was still there was the gospel. The gospel that we, each one of us, as we're gathered here at Faith Lutheran Church, each of us as we are gathered as people who are part of a church that, well, Luther never liked the idea that a church bore his name, but it does. And as Christians, we don't ever want to lose that. To begin in my message, I told you about two amazing dynasties. One team winning 88 games in a row. One team winning 92 games in a row. When each team lost, ending their winning streak, it was a regular season game of some kind or another. Okay, they lost. But still, I mean, you have the national tournament that determines the champion each and every year. But if you go looking at the record books, the year that UCLA's 88-game winning streak came to an end, they didn't win the national championship. The year UConn women won 92 in a row, they didn't win the national championship. When they lost, they lost everything. And friends, if we do not actively remain people, people of the gospel, people devoted to the word, people devoted to the truth and the whole truth about God's word, not what the popular way is to try to make God's word whatever it might be, we're going to see a 500 plus year legacy come to an end. And after 500 comes one. After one comes zero. I personally do not ever want us to forget the lessons of Holy Scripture, because they are so precious. They have changed our lives so much. They let us see with eyes that we would never have been able to see. Eyes that we should never be allowed to see, that we don't deserve to see, because sin is still a part of our lives. But that's what God did for us. We celebrate the Reformation each and every year, not, by the way, as a, quote, Lutheran event, whatever that means, but to reform the Holy Christian Church. And maybe indeed we're at the point now where we need to start another streak, to remind ourselves, those that are called Christian and the many more that are not, there is a path that doesn't lead you to the dead ends of life, but leads you to the bright light of Christ and Him crucified and Him risen and Him who is going to prepare a place for you, for you who sees what Jesus has done for them, who understands what the power of forgiveness is all about. My friends, as God's people, the message of the gospel has put us on a real winning streak. It's a winning streak that's going to go on interminably in everlasting life, and it's one we don't ever want to give up. I don't have any special strategies that basically say just what it is we can do, so just as, you know, some of those coaches at some point, how they were able to just keep their team sharp game in and game out. We're going to have our days where we feel the power of sin more than we feel the power of Christ. But Christ is still there, forgiving you, redeeming you, restoring you, and reminding you what He did that you could not do. Okay, our winning streak is going to continue. Even if we're not celebrating in a park this year like we did last year, we will celebrate. Why? Not because of an anniversary, but because Jesus Christ died and rose for you. That is what makes each and every one of you tonight's winner. And the winning streak continues. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. On this celebration of the Reformation, rather than the entire Apostles' Creed, we're going to focus on what is the second article of the Apostles' Creed, along with Martin Luther's meaning. Focuses on what Jesus Christ has done for us. Please stand as we go through that portion of our catechism. What is the second article of the Apostles' Creed? I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. What does this mean? I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. We receive our offerings and a familiar song during the offering, A Mighty Fortress. You may be seated. A prayer has been requested on behalf of Marty Coran, who is going to be having some procedures done during this coming week. Friends, we lift up our hearts as we bow our heads in prayer. Lord God Almighty, you are our God forever and ever. You have called us by the gospel into the glorious company of the saints and into your church. We thank and praise you for the victory that you have given to us, and for your continual care that protects that through your entire church. We praise you especially that when the church was weakened by the false words and misguided wisdom of men and church councils, you freed and revived it by your grace and goodness through your holy precious word. When people had tampered with the glory of the gospel, you once again restored it in all its beauty and power. Through your Holy Spirit, you have raised up men of courage, faith, and heavenly wisdom, who led your people back to the living truth of your word and restored to them the joy of salvation in Jesus. So protect your church today. Liberate us from all false teachings. Rid the church of all half-heartedness, love of this world, fear of ridicule, persecution of the truth. Renew and strengthen it for your gracious purposes. Give each one of us, O Father, that living faith in your Son which makes us right with you. Grant that we may continually trust in your loving kindness. Experience the peace of your pardon. Continue in your word which makes us free. Live by the Spirit in faith, hope, and love. Lord of the harvest, send out workers to see that indeed the fields are white for harvest, that your pure, unchanging gospel may be sent and shared with all nations, richly blessing their efforts to gather a harvest for you. Father of all mercies, look kindly on the nations of the world, especially our own. Give those who govern love of the truth, warmth of heart, purity of mind, that they may serve all people faithfully on your behalf. Let your light shine everywhere in the city and in the country, that people may come to know you and turn to you in repentance and faith. We commend to your loving care our homes and families, and all people in every situation and circumstance. Be the refuge and strength of all, always ready to help in times of trouble. We now lift up before you someone in our own lives that is in need of the special comfort and strength that you provide, that we name before you and now in the privacy of our own hearts. Lord God, as you once proclaimed your saving promise through the prophets of Israel, you published the good news of your saving promise that is fulfilled in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Grant that we, being instructed in the doctrine of the apostles and evangelists, may faithfully eat and drink his body and declare his salvation to all the world. Hear us now as we pray in his name the prayer that he taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The words of our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you steadfast in the true faith unto life everlasting. God is our refuge and strength, and he gives us that strength through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. My friends, let's please stand for our closing prayer as we pray together. Almighty and gracious Lord, as your baptized people, you have called us to follow you. By your Holy Spirit, grant that we abide in your word, that we may truly be your disciples and know the truth which sets us free. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts and into your homes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Now, if we're true Lutherans, we're supposed to do this last song sitting down, but I don't think that's right when you're singing stand up for Jesus. So let's remain standing. Well, friends, as I mentioned before, there's all kinds of stuff going on back in our fellowship area that we used to call Narthex Number 2, including fellowship with some really delicious-looking cupcakes. Please join us for that. We've got some coffee and water and things like that. So otherwise, a blessed Reformation to you. Go in peace and serve the Lord.